Hey, as I was preparing for a message tonight, it actually dawned on me, not everyone will know who I am, so a quick introduction other than the nice one I just got. As Eleanor said, my name is Nick Bartlett. For the most part, I grew up in church. I actually grew up in this church, and for the last 10 years, I attended with my lovely parents, who I love dearly, Dean and Tarangi Bartlett. Dad shreds on the guitar every now and then. Safe to say, the musical talent didn't pass on to me, unfortunately. But here at church is where I met my now beautiful wife, Kirsten, who is the daughter of Pastor Alan and Eleanor. We've been married for around almost 11 months. Hot tip, find your spouse in church. Find your spouse in church. Funny story, actually, back to when Eleanor just mentioned, when I was doing Empower Ministry at a ripe age of 19. Everyone will probably know this story, but there's a household rule at the Hoods, right? No dating until you're 18. And I remember I was having sit-down meetings with Pastor Ellen, and I thought I'd take my opportunity to take a stab at the solidarity of this rule. And I remember this vividly. I said to Ellen, I have feelings for Kirsten. And he calmly replied, I know. I'd never sweat more in my life than in that moment, but 6 years later, here we are. I've been attending the whānau in Arataki for around 3 years now. This was when around Josh Taylor was youth pastoring. He was doing an amazing job, but I felt the prompting to go out there, right? It had the highest rate for youth offending in Tauranga, and I just felt to start a youth group there. There was 4 or 5 youth attending. In the last 3 years, we've seen up to 60 in attendance, which is awesome. Yeah, give a round of applause. I've had the greatest time serving in youth. It's been amazing to see youth come to know Jesus and form relationships that have been real closers of a right, I'll tell you what. But ones I'm truly and will be forever grateful for. And as Alan also said, a full-time police officer. I'm doing that just over 4 years and recently been appointed the Mount Maunganui Community Constable role. Hello. You'll likely see me in patrolling Bayfair like a glorified Paul Blart, but it's a role I'm getting used to and enjoying. But before I get into my message tonight, I thought I'd quickly mention I recently downloaded the app called Podbean. Whether that's boomer of me, I don't know if you know what that is, but it's a place where you go and listen to podcasts. And I actually stumbled across City Church's podcast. And I came across the Young Guns service, where Moses, Margot, Thomas, and Olivia spoke. Holy. Hey, weren't they amazing? You guys smashed it. Absolutely smashed it. And sometimes we don't actually realize the impact or the reach that our stories can have, eh? And Moses, man, you're phenomenal, bro. Just wanted to encourage you, man, that continue to press in, eh? Like, God is going to use you powerfully, bro. And I'm just, yeah, so stoked to see, obviously, how far you've come. And just want to honor real quickly Abby and Sam. You guys are doing an amazing, amazing job at youth. I don't know where you are, around here somewhere, over there. Oh, awesome, bro. Me and Kirsten are lucky to have you guys as friends, and we're stoked to be able to do this youth pastoring with you guys. We love you. But tonight, I'm going to speak about the idea of worth. Your worth, our worth. But I'm just going to pray. God, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that we could be here, Father, that everyone in this room is meant to be here, Father. And God, we pray for a reminding, Lord Jesus, of our worth, our God-given worth, Lord Jesus. So we just pray that we would lean in, open hearts, Lord Jesus, that you would move in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Alrighty. So I'm just going to read from the scripture of the parable of the lost coin. It's in Luke 15. It's a story between the lost sheep and like the prodigal son. So it goes lost sheep, coin, prodigal son, right? In Luke 15, 8 to 10, it goes like this. Well, suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin. In the same way I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. See, we see here a woman who loses one of her coins. Who has ever lost something before? Show of hands, who's lost something before? Honestly, I get so nervous and a little bit frustrated that I actually lose it permanently, right? But a few years ago, as I said before, when I was doing youth at church, and Tama had asked me to kind of oversee a group of the youth, maybe three or four, going to the Disciple Makers Conference in Auckland. And he had given me the task to look after them, to ensure they're safe, to ensure they're doing well. So at the time, to me, it was a big deal because my first kind of bit of responsibility, right? You want to kind of impress. So I was somewhat nervous at directly looking after them. And I kid you not, after one of the first sessions, we went to lunch. And my first shot at looking after them, I called it, I misplaced them. I fully lost one of them for a record of 30 minutes. But after that, I found him, right? He was in the whaddy-whaddy, but that's nobody's business. But man, when you lose something, right, when you lose something precious, all your attention is fixed on finding that thing, right? All my attention for those 30 minutes, I was like, bro, I was devoted to finding that youth kid. In this parable, we see a woman who searches every inch of her house until she finds her lost coin. I want to read that verse 10 again. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Man, we are so precious to God that just one person repenting causes a celebration in heaven amongst all the angels. He is waiting for his lost to come back home. We are so precious to him. See, what I like about the story with these 10 silver coins is each and every single one of them hold the same value. Each and every single one of them have the same worth like us to our God. So point number one, we are created with worth. My hope for us tonight is that we realize in its fullness that you have worth. We have worth. Psalm 139, verse 13. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. We are all designed by God. We are masterpieces. There's nothing you could do, say, think, or feel that will make God love you any less than he does right now. God sees our worth and desires to be in relationship with us. I want to look at someone in the Bible with the idea of worth, and that's David. You know, when I see David in the Bible, it's like when you're reading a book or watching a movie, and you're like, yes, I'm that guy. You know, I'm that guy. And like, it's like me when I'm watching, you know, like Avengers, I'm like, oh, the Incredible Hulk. You know, that's kind of me hanging with muscle. But that's like me when I see David, I'm like, yeah, I want to be that guy. Except I can't play an instrument, but here we go. But the story I want to look at is David in 1 Samuel 18, 5 to 9. It tells a portion of a story where David, who was not quite king yet, as a warrior for King Saul, where David has led battle after battle and got triumph after triumph. And in verse 5 it says, whatever mission Saul sent him on, David was so successful that Saul gave him a high rank in the army. This pleased all the troops and Saul's officers as well. When the men were returning home after David had killed the Philistine, the woman came out of all the towns of Israel to meet King Saul and with singing and dancing, with joyful songs, timbrels, and lyres. As they danced, they sang, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his tens of thousands. Saul was very angry at this refrain, and it displeased him greatly. They have accredited to David tens of thousands, he thought, but me with only thousands? What more can he get but the kingdom? And from that time, Saul kept a close eye on David. As you can see here, like, David was well-loved by the people, right? They loved him for his accolades, for the battles he had won. And we also see that Saul became increasingly cautious. And if you read further, jealous, hateful towards David out of his own insecurity. See, it could be so easy for David to place his worth on his works alone and not in God. But God created us with worth. Yes, David did amazing things. He had worth, but he had worth from the beginning. We can't define our worth based on our achievements or in modern times, our jobs or worldly pleasures. We can't let our worth be defined by others because people let you down. We cannot rely on the opinions of others to build up our self-worth. Like we see in the scripture, the people loved David, but if you place his worth and identity in that alone, it can become so dangerous. So dangerous. It's heartbreaking when we see athletes, for instance, who, when they're playing well in their profession or in the media and how they view them, you know, it's awesome, right? But as soon as the performance dips a little bit or doesn't go up to expectation, man, they're absolutely turned on, and they're turned on a large scale. Recent statistics show close to 40% of athletes suffer and struggle with mental health, stress, eating disorders, burnout, depression, or anxiety. I mean, our worth needs to come from God. Though David lived in the confidence that God was with him and for him, he still was not perfect, eh? He still fell from grace, committing adultery and murder. So quickly that life can change, right? So quickly that the circumstances, like it did for David, that the world can trick you into believing you have no worth. But we are created with worth. This brings me to number two. Our worth does not change. You know what I love about that silver coin that the woman loses? Even though it's lost, its value, its monetary value, does not change. Just like David, just like us, our worth does not change. Even when we fall short or feel lost, our worth does not change. And doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? I love that. She searched carefully. The woman searches a picture of God searching for the lost, and she pictures him as searching with great care. And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." See, regardless of how far we have fallen or how lost we feel, God loves us. He views us as his children. Our worth does not change. In a world filled with trials and challenges, we need to know that we all have worth and that it's God-given, God-given worth. We can all find ourselves in situations that are tough, that are difficult, but it's important to remember that through it all, God loves us and that our worth does not change with our circumstances. We need to stop believing the lies about ourselves, truly, that we're not good enough, that no one cares, that there's no hope. There is hope, and it's Jesus. Point number three, Jesus paid the price. Jesus came and paid the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. He paid the price by dying on the cross. He did this so that we would live in the fullness and the fullness of his love, his grace, and the worth that he sees when he sees us. And I believe that tonight that there are perhaps some of us who have struggled or know someone that has struggled with accepting this, truly believing that you have worth. We are created with worth, our worth never changes, and Jesus paid the price. I just want to touch on this idea and declare this point as well, and it's hold on. Hold on. See, I've mentioned this thought in one of my sermons before, but I felt the prompting to share it tonight. And if we look at the story where Judas betrayed Jesus, it's a famous story. Hold on. Judas was one of Jesus' disciples. His name means praise, or let God be praised. And man, he was close with Jesus. He's referred to as a brother of Jesus. He would be around Jesus all the time, all the time. But in the story, Judas went to the chief priests of the land in Matthew 26:15, asked, "What are you willing to give me if I deliver him, being Jesus, over to you?" So they counted out for him 30 pieces of silver. From then on, Judas watched for an opportunity to hand him over. Judas had arranged a signal with the chief priests and elders that he would greet Jesus with a kiss, and that when they did so, they were to come forward and arrest him. And sure enough, Judas greeted Jesus with a kiss, and the men stepped forward, seized, and arrested him. Their plan was to put Jesus to death. And in Matthew 27:3, it goes like this. When Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. "I have sinned," he said, "for I have betrayed innocent blood." "What is that to us?" they replied. "That's your responsibility." So Judas threw the money into the temple and left. Then he went away and hung himself. Hold on. Hold on. We are created with worth. That worth never changes. And Jesus paid the price. Hold on. If the band could come. See, my belief is that if Judas could have held on, if he had waited three more days, that he would have found breakthrough. That he would have seen Jesus. That he would have seen that Jesus rose again and that he could have been forgiven. If God brings you to it, he's going to bring you through it. See, just because we make mistakes, it doesn't disqualify you from knowing Jesus and his love or his forgiveness. What we do in the natural affects the supernatural. But it requires action. It requires faith. God, I thank you, Jesus, for every hand raised tonight, Lord God, that you see them, Lord Jesus. Lord God, we pray for deliverance right now, Lord God, that they would be reminded of their worth, that they would know they were born with worth, that worth does not change, Lord Jesus. You paid the price, and God, we're praying that they would hold on, Lord Jesus. Hold on to you.